Thank you, worship team. Thank you, everybody out there who is with us this morning. Just want to wish you a last time a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year that is coming. This morning, a couple things before we get going. I just want to remind you that tithes and offerings, you can go to our webpage at newccc.org, or you can mail it to 51 East Oneida Street. Today I want to talk about thankfulness. I want to talk about the title of my message would be Strengthened Through Thankfulness. It's the end of the year. Christmas has come and gone for one more year. It's been amazing. It's been a hard year, as Bill mentioned, but one of the things that I think we all realize is even though we have a lot of hopes and, January 1st comes and we have all these things we're going to do and make ourselves new and improved, doesn't always work that way. But we just really have to look to the Lord. And I want to read through, before I do that, I've got a lot of emails, a lot of texts this week. I would ask you, New Covenant, to plan on meeting remotely next week too. If it changes, we will let you know, but I doubt that it will. So we'll probably at least one more Sunday be meeting remotely while I finish up the sanctuary, which is really looking great. But Psalm 100, David says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So Lord, we come before you today. We are in a season, Lord, where we get gifts, we give, we receive. And as we go through that time, if we're not careful, our thoughts and our attentions can drift onto ourselves. And Lord, let us, like David, with all that he went through, he instructs us to worship you, to praise you, to give thanks. And Lord, I know that some who hear this message are thinking, I don't have a lot to be thankful for. And maybe there is need to be had in their lives and on this earth. Maybe there's comfort and restoration that needs to take place. But Lord, when we make that step to be thankful, when we make that step to worship you, to praise you, regardless of what we're going through, God, then you move powerfully. Just as David knew, Lord God, that he could minister to his own soul, that he wasn't going to stay in the place of being down and out, but that he would turn his attention to you and let the living God minister to him, Lord God, as he focused on you. Help us today focus on you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. I think it's safe to say nobody wants a repeat of the year 2020. It's been a hard year, but I know next Friday, January 1st, this COVID thing's still going to be going on unless God moves miraculously. And like I said, being a gym member, the month of January stinks. Because you have all these weekend warriors that think, I'm going to join the gym and I'm going to become the next Olympic marathoner, et cetera, et cetera. And there's just way too many people. But then you wait till February and March and it gets back to normal. And that's really what resolutions are with a lot of us. Let's be honest. A lot of times we lie to ourselves, think we're going to do things. But I have found without me giving myself over to God, those changes are temporary. But I want to encourage us, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And every time I read this verse, I think of Tom, an older gentleman from the North Country that I did his funeral. And he wanted this done because he was such a changed person from his life before Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." You know, we've been talking lately about we go from darkness to light. We go from death to life. So today I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to start with myself, let's commit to having thankful hearts and just thank God, thank Jesus for everything that he has done and is doing for us. We need to experience the power of gratitude. And the first point I want to make is we need to unleash the power of praise. And David writes in verse 1, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." Verse 2, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." How do you unleash the power of praise? We need to worship the Lord. We just had an awesome time of worship. At the end of this message, Bill and Joanne are going to come up. We're going to sing another song. And it's time for you to put into practice. To worship God. What worship does, it stretches us, it takes us out of ourselves, and we concentrate on the Lord. I didn't go to church growing up. And when I started going to church, being in a spirit-filled church where, you know, the charismatic, where they did things like they lifted hands as scriptures tell us to do, it's an act of surrender and praising to God. I remember the first time I did it, I was so self-conscious. I'm in college, I lift my hands, and a smart aleck friend of mine, and I'm not going to mention Bill's last name, made a comment, but it's not Bill Jackman, by the way, made a comment, and I didn't raise my hands for months because I was so embarrassed. But see, praise and worship, it can't come from a place of our emotion. Too often, we let emotions dictate how we worship. We used to sing a song years ago, "We bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord." And I remember once, I'm in college, it's my senior year, I'm married, I'm in college, I have all these papers to do and these tests coming up, and you know, we talked about going to the midweek meeting, and I was making all these excuses not to, and I knew we should go, and Melody, my, you know, she really encouraged me to go. And I remember, in fact, we were in this room right here and we're singing. And I'm singing, "We bring a sacrifice to praise," and I'm getting sarcastic with God. I'm saying, "God, this is a sacrifice because I don't want to be here." But I kept singing. I didn't let my emotions dictate what I would do to God. And by the end of that time of worship, I was so glad I was there because the Holy Spirit touched me. We have to realize the power we have to minister to ourselves. And by that I mean, as I make myself do something I don't want to do, when I'm down and out, I don't curl up in a fetal position and suck my thumb, but I look to God and I put one foot in front of the other and I trust him. And when I don't feel like something, who cares? We live in a world where you're driven by emotions, and I'm sorry, that's just not the way to go. Please guard against letting your feelings have the final say in your relationship to God. If I hadn't gone and obeyed the Lord that night and gone to that meeting, I would have missed the blessing that he gave me. Even though I had a very terrible attitude to start the meeting, as I gave myself over and started singing, the Holy Spirit moved powerfully. And we have to realize that being thankful transitions us from concentrating on what we don't have to concentrating on what we do have. You know, and this is not in the Bible. I'm not a Pharisee saying this has to be the case. But I was reading Billy Graham this week, and one of the things he said was, because Jesus is the reason we give gifts, his feeling was Christians shouldn't give elaborate gifts to one another at Christmas, but use that money for God's kingdom. And the thing I liked about that is, you know, at Christmas time, people ask you, what do you want? And I usually say like a Dunkin' Donut card. But then I start thinking about, wow, what do I like? And my list goes from here because I'm thinking about myself and my lustful desires, and it gets longer and longer. So one of the things I want to offer, I mean, encourage us as Christians, we need to resist the lure of what the world has to offer. I know, unless God moves powerfully, I am never going to wake up on Christmas morning and my wife's going to lovingly open the door and I have a brand new Lexus with a red bow on it. But that ain't what Christmas is about. Christmas is about Jesus. And you know, the first house my wife and I bought, it was like 1,050 square feet, small house, but it was a two-family house, including 1,050 square feet. But it was ours. But now I look at my house that I have now, and I'm thankful. Even though there's a lot wrong with it, and I'm thankful that I have a house. I could go to other places and say, oh man, that'd be cool. But I'm thankful for what I have. So I'm encouraging us today to be thankful. And as David talks about, shout for joy to the Lord all the earth. I want to talk about worship just for a second. There is no right way to worship. Just worship. Some people do it with instruments. Some people don't. Some people do it demonstrably. Some people are quiet. There's no right formula. Just worship God. As I've said a million times, when I was in the North Country, one guy told me, you know, North Country men don't worship. I gave him my Bible and said, if you show me that in the Bible, I will agree with you. That's just pride. So just worship God. And what happened to me, I went from being self-conscious, so I started raising my hands till, you know, I'm still reserved and conservative. That's who I am. But I just have a freedom. Like during worship today, thank you, Bill and Joanne. It was fantastic. God moved so powerfully. But I'm going to say one thing. Worship the way you're comfortable, but don't stay there. What I mean by that is let God expand you. Let God stretch you. I don't cherish being in the limelight. But sometimes as a pastor, we'd be worshiping, say, in the sanctuary, and I know God is telling me, I want you to go to the front and I want you to kneel. In the flesh, that's hard for me because I know people will see me do that. But in the spirit, I say, Lord, I gotta obey. You see, worship humbles us because we take our attention off of ourselves, and we put it on Jesus Christ. I love Psalm 18:49, where David writes, therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. The church has to realize the power we have that God has given us through his Holy Spirit to minister to people that don't know him. That when life is hard, for them to say, hey, how come you can be in a good place? How come you can have this hope? Because, man, we got Jesus. You know, I remember about 20-some years ago, on a Sunday morning, somebody broke into the office during church and they stole our tithe. So I had to go down to the bank the next day, and I talked to them and I said, you know, people that got their checks stolen, would you not charge them for canceling them? And they said, that's no problem. And at the end, I remember they said, I can't believe you're not upset by this. And it was cool because we were able to say, this stinks, but Jesus is in control. We're not going to allow this, even though it was December, to steal our joy. So we could praise God among the nations. And one of the things, New Covenant, you know, God has given me for the next year is closer to God and closer to community. You have to realize the power you have by the testimony of your life when we open up our words of faith to people that don't know him. Then the second point I want to make is from verse 3. Embrace your new identity. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. I was on Facebook this week, and I'm looking at a post from this guy that I knew growing up. And let's just say he was undesirable. He was a scallywag. I don't know. There's a lot of words I want to use, but I'm not going to do it. So I'm reading this post, and he's just praising Jesus. Jesus is Lord. All glory to God. And I'm reading this public declaration. And I said, the old is gone in his life, the new has come. And I was so encouraged. I'm thinking, man, God, if you can do it with him, you can do it with me. You can do it with anybody. The old is gone, the new has come. One thing I want to say, church, don't get anxious about getting uncomfortable. We need to become comfortable being uncomfortable. God needs to stretch us. It says, it is He who made us, and we are His. We are the sheep of His pasture. One of the concerns that I see in America and I see in the church, we want to be comfortable. We can read about the rich young ruler who Jesus said, oh, you're close, just sell every single thing that you have and give it to me. Now, that's not something God's telling all of us, but I see there's a level of comfort that we have in the church. I will serve God. I will give sacrificially. I will give Him my life as long as He doesn't take too much. What if God spoke to us and said, hey, I want you to sell everything. I want you to give everything to me, to the ministry, or to whatever. I want you to spend your time in another country ministering to the down and out. Could we do that? You know, and because we like being comfortable, and I'm going to say as a pastor, a lot of the complaints that I get are because people aren't comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable. You know, I have said this for years, and this is not a teaching on finances whatsoever, but for years what Melody and I have done is once we do our budget and we give, we have all these different things that we support, once we grow comfortable and we've learned to live at that level, then we try to increase and give even more. Why? Because I want to depend on Jesus. I don't want to depend on me. I don't want to be comfortable. Jesus talked about the new wine and the new wineskin. Once you taste the new wine, it takes some getting used to. You want to go back to the old. But that's not Jesus. Jesus doesn't do yesterday. Jesus wants us to trust Him and embrace our new identity. And one of the things that I see in this church that God wants to do, He wants you to believe who He made you to be. Stop letting the enemy identify and ID who you are. The old is gone, the new has come. God wants you to embrace that. He wants you to walk in the power that He is giving you. But you need to do it. You need to take those steps. And one thing I want to say, my life has to look a lot different than it was before I knew Jesus. I don't want to fit in. I don't want to look like people that don't have Jesus because I got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. We have to stop trying to fit in, trying to look like everybody else. Now, we're in this world, not of this world. Paul says, I become all people. I become all things to all people so that I can win some. It doesn't mean we sin, but what I'm saying is we don't compromise who we are. I got to look different because I got Christ inside of me. And as I said, we're talking about being closer to God, closer to community. One of the things I'm going to say, I'm thankful that God has done in this COVID season is He has called us closer to himself. We have more time. My hope is on Sunday morning, you didn't just roll out of bed, grab your coffee, grab your donut, and sit down and turn the computer on at 9:59. My prayer is that at 9:30, you're in the Bible, you're praying, you're reading, you're listening to worship songs, and you're letting the Holy Spirit move. So that when you click on at 10 o'clock and you see our smiling faces, you are amped up for Jesus to move in your life. A friend of mine, Pastor Joseph Finocchi, used to talk about, man, in America, there's so much on Saturday night to do on TV, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Because the enemy wants to steal your attention from Sunday morning. It's time we embrace our new identity. I want to live differently because through the grace of God, I am different. I'm not who I used to be. And like I said about that Facebook post, as I'm reading this, I'm thanking God and saying, this is such a powerful testimony that this man who really was in darkness is in the light. Last point I want to make. Live the elevated life. Paul says in verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I want you to close your eyes for a second. Maybe this year is tough. Melody and I got a text the other night from somebody who used to be a part of our church and has moved away. They got laid off, even though they can keep their job until they find a new one. Their grandfather died, and I believe their great aunt died in a matter of like 2 days. Not a powerful, happy thing to occur in this season. But even in that situation, we can be thankful for Jesus Christ. Maybe 2020 hasn't hit you hard. Maybe it's devastated you. Don't let the enemy win. Be thankful and praise the Lord. Oh, you're not going to feel like it, but don't let that stop you. Praise Jesus and keep going on. Again, I want to talk about living the elevated life. You can open your eyes and all that. Enter his gates of thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, praise his name, for the God is good, his love endures forever. Our attitudes can make us or break us. I remember in the 80s, there was a kid's show. I don't know if it was Salty's Playhouse or what it was, but it says, we bring an attitude of gratitude. Your attitude can make or break you. You need to learn to look at the bright side. Me, in the flesh, my natural, I'm a pessimist. My glass of, my cup of coffee is not half full. That baby's half empty, and somebody probably spit in what I have left. I mean, I'm a natural pessimist, but I can't give myself over to that. I got to look to God, and I got to be thankful. And I'm going to give you an assignment this week. I'm going to ask, there's 5 verses here, for you to pray, to read these verses, to pray over them, and to minister to yourself and say, you know what? I am going to be thankful. For God gave his son for me. Jesus died for my sin. So I have opportunity, if I ask God to forgive me and I ask Christ into my life, that guess what? The old is gone, the new has come. I know when I breathe my last, I'm going to be with Jesus Christ forever. We need to be thankful regardless of what life throws at you. And one of the greatest things that steals our peace is our lustful desires. And I'm not just talking about sexual things. I'm talking about anything that we desire and that we lust after is going to make us discontent with what we have. I could look at this church building and I could say, This part was built in the 1900s, the sanctuary during the Civil War, and I could look at some of these new church buildings, and they have all these Christmas trees, and they have all these lights, and they have a coffee shop, and they have all this great stuff, and I could get jealous. But you know what? I'm thankful for what God has given us. I am thankful, because one of the things you guys know, if you've known me for a while, you know, I love different SUVs. And I remember the first one I got was this old Jeep, and I thought I was king of the road driving that bad boy. Till I went to Florida, and we rented the car, and my daughter did an upgrade, so we got this new SUV. Well, then I got home, and all of a sudden, I wasn't happy anymore. Why? I wasn't thankful for what I had. I was looking at something else. That's what lust does. It steals our peace, and it makes us want something other than God gives us. It's a natural thing. I think it's Peter, well, Jesus, how about him? Jesus, I ain't worried about him, man. I'm talking to you. And I can look at my life and say, well, you know, Randy Zirkle's right there doing sound. Well, how come he can't go through this? God said, don't worry about Randy. Worry about Dick Beaumont. So one of the things that steals our peace and discontentment is lustful desires, and say, God, help me not go there. Help me not go there. I want to be like Paul, who writes, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, Paul writes, I know what it's like to have a lot. I know what it's like to have little. We all think that. We all think, yeah, I'd rather have a lot. But I just want to say, Jesus, whatever you give me, whatever my lot in life is going to be, help me, Lord, to be content. We need to anticipate and experience the goodness of God in all situations. And by that, I mean all situations. Regardless of what you're going through, and I don't know everybody's situation, I do know that God loves you and he works things out for the good for those who love him, and that you need to go through whatever you're experiencing, but don't let it steal your peace. Don't let it steal your thankfulness and say, you know what, God, I am going to thank you that I have eternity and I have you. David writes in Psalm 30, I will exalt you, Lord. Listen to these words. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. If you seem to be weighed down in the stress of life, you need to turn to Jesus. You need to say, Lord, I am in the depths right now and I need to be lifted out. And I'm going to tell you, the only part you can have in that is choosing to be thankful and worship God. But we need to turn to the Lord. We need to ask God for his help. We need to remember our new identity. There are too many Christians out there, I don't want you, Jesus, because your life is down and out. You don't have hope. And the gospel that you give people is how crummy your life is. Now, I'm sorry, but let me be bold in saying this. When that's your testimony, you're pushing people away from Jesus. You're not drawing them near. My testimony is, even when life stinks, I am a new creation, and Jesus Christ has me in the hollow of his hands. How can you go through that? Because I have Jesus Christ. Let's stop elevating the garbage, excuse me. And let us lift up the name of Jesus Christ, for we are a new identity. And I'm going to close with this verse. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Quick summary. Understand what a large role praise and worship has in our relationship with the Lord. It's okay to worship God in your way, but also be willing to be stretched. Worship is never dictated or should not be dictated by emotions, But as we give ourselves into worshiping the Lord, it can lift us up out of our emotions and change our lives. We need to understand that we are new creations. We need to live that way, and we need to choose to live the way God commands us to. Let's stop being comfortable, but let us start looking to get uncomfortable for Jesus. Live the elevated life and be thankful. At this point, would Bill and Joanne, then I will close us in prayer. So what a great time you have to start practicing worship.